Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, out on the edge of the prairie, my hometown. It's been lovely weather. It's been warm. We've gotten a little bit of rain. It's been great for the tomatoes. The great tomato sweepstakes finally came to an end on Tuesday of this last week, when Irene Bunsen had the supreme pleasure of any tomato gardener of walking from her garden around back, down the alley, past the garages, and up the back walk of Clarence Bunsen, her rival, walking past his tomato plants with their tiny, green, hard, ping-pong-sized tomatoes on them, and bringing two large, red, ripe, softball-sized tomatoes up to Clarence, who was sitting on the back stoop and who wished he could escape into the house, but could not. She trapped him. "Here," she said, "I thought you might find these of use." He said, "Did you grow these yourself, or did you buy these someplace?" "Oh, no," she said. "They're out of my garden. I have lots of them. I can spare these for you." He said, "I've seen all the fertilizer and those sprays and things you've been using over there. I'm not sure it's safe to eat these. They might be carcinogenic." She smiled at him. She said, "Clarence, at your age, a person can afford to live dangerously." And she turned and she walked back home. It was an act of Christian charity, sharing the bounty of your garden, and yet it felt like the surrender of Cornwallis at Yorktown to Clarence. Clarence is the chair of the 4th of July committee, and they've been meeting now for about the last 6 weeks, trying to resolve the issues around this year's celebration, namely the parade. Are there standards that can be used to distinguish participants in the parade from people who just had an urge to get out and walk, or people who just wanted to put their kids into the box of their pickup and drive behind the band? Should there be marshals to enforce these standards? Is there any kind of distinction between spectators and participants? Should there be? The picnic, the Sons of Canute Knights of Columbus joint hamburger grilling. One God, one grill, men of different faiths working together. That's all fine. But the blueberry pie eating contest, do we have to do this again? For the last few years, it's come to the same conclusions. Contestants getting out of hand, getting too stressed out on the competition and going way beyond their capacity. And it's not a pretty sight. Just before you yourself are going to sit down and eat, could we please go back to the saltine eating contest where you eat 12 and the winner is the first one who can whistle? And the fireworks. What can be done after last year's debacle in which the volunteer firemen who've always been in charge towed the pontoon boat with the fireworks on it out to the middle of the lake, and there was a long pause, and then somebody said no, and somebody mistook that for now, and it all went off horizontally. $2,000 worth of rockets just sputtered and sprayed all over the lake. What can be done about this? Mr. Olson, who's in the volunteer fire department, said that as far as the fireworks were concerned, the incident of last year has been investigated. All the facts have been established. Precautions are in place. This will not happen again. There is no problem. As far as the picnic, it was voted 4-0 to have the saltine contest restored and to eliminate the blueberry pie contest. As far as the parade, the motion to establish standards for appropriate outfits, costumes, uniforms for parade participants, and to require anybody who is in the parade to either be wearing such suitable costume or to be a part of a vehicle that is, in the judgment of the parade marshals, appropriately decorated for the holiday, failed by a vote of 4-0. Fireworks. Clarence said, "I'd like to introduce someone in the audience," and he pointed to a tall, tan woman in hiking shorts sitting in the front row. He said, "You all know Denise. Denise came in from San Francisco. She's here to put her dad, Art, into a nursing home, and he'd been there for about 2 weeks, expected to be there for a couple more weeks. Art was a saver, had a lot in the basement and in the garage. There's kind of a family chromosome that won't let you throw out anything that could be useful to anybody at some time in the future." Clarence had run into Denise at Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery, and they had talked for a little bit, and she said, "I'm clearing out the garage, and I discovered that I have a little private stash of fireworks. I wonder if there'd be anybody who'd be interested in these or interested in seeing them." And he talked to her about this, and it turned out that she is an amateur pyrotechnician. She's a member of the Pyrotechnics Guild International. She's done this before. He said, "You know, you ought to come down to the meeting of the 4th of July committee and talk to them." So here she was. She got up out of the front row, and she looked at them. And she said, "I don't want to rock the boat," she said. "And I think the volunteer fire department has done a great job, and I don't take anything away from them. But the ability to fight fires is not the same as the ability to produce a really great fireworks display. And you know, there's been so much progress in the field of pyrotechnics in just the last 10 years. There are things that you can do now with payloads that have microchips, then they're radio controlled. It's just amazing what you can do. And for not much more money than you'd spend on just having some trashy little Roman candles and pinwheels." Mr. Olson said, "I've never heard any complaints in the past about our fireworks show. I don't know who you are, what your experience is, but everyone I know has appreciated what the volunteer fire department has done in the past on the 4th of July. And I say, if it's not broke, don't fix it." Well, she said, "That's not the point. The point is that you could do so much better than what you're doing now. They have this tremendous rocket. It's called the Umbrella of Sparks. It goes up 2,500 feet, and then it has a lateral spread of 2 miles in about 5 seconds. It just creates this dome of light over the whole town. It just takes your breath away. It's just spectacular." Mr. Olson said, "Young lady, I've been setting off fireworks since long before you were born. Don't tell me about rockets. I know rockets. I've set off more rockets than you'll ever see in your life." She said, "That's not it. You could do such great things. They have this new rocket. It's actually a cluster of rockets. It's about the size of a trash barrel. It's called the Skyrider. And you program it, you need the software, and you program the little microchip, and it goes up into the sky, and it writes in cursive handwriting about 200 words across the sky, and then there are red and white and blue starbursts all around it, and there's this cannon fire. It's just spectacular. I know people whose lives have been changed by seeing this. I know people have burst into tears. There was a man down in Texas who saw this, and he went home and he wrote a check to the IRS for everything he cheated them out of for the past 10 years on the 4th of July. It's just phenomenal." Clarence said, "What sort of things does it write?" "Well," she said, "you get your choice. You can get a line from the Declaration of Independence, from the preamble. You can get a verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. You can get a few lines from Lincoln's second inaugural address. Or you can get the lyrics to Addicts of My Life. The program was designed by a guy in San Francisco. He was an old deadhead. Deadhead, said Clarence. Deadhead. Yes, she said. It's the Grateful Dead. It's a rock and roll band. That was one of their songs. Well, that sounds good to me, Clarence said. I think that we ought to look into this. I make a motion that we appoint two of us to get some more information on explosives and fireworks and report back in about a week and get a cost estimate and so forth. Carl Krebsbach said, I second that motion. Mr. Olson looked at them. He smoothed the strands of brown hair across his bald head. He said, I don't know about this rocket. For me, I can only speak for myself. The idea of setting off something with that much firepower in the presence of small children is a terrifying thought. One tiny miscalculation, your computer could be off by one digit, and we would have a mass funeral in this town of the sort that the national news media comes in to cover. Tiny white coffins on the gymnasium floor. I've never heard any complaints, he said, in the past about our fireworks display. This is all new to me. I just hope we take a moment to consult our common sense before we go ahead on this. Doing something this dangerous in front of these people, I just question the wisdom of this. And I also question it as a member of the volunteer fire department who has served this community without pay, without remuneration, without even much thanks over the last 40 years. We have raised money for our uniforms, our equipment, with bake sales and dances without a single little bit of help from anybody else here. I just think this is such a slap in the face to people who have done so much for this community. Now, all of you are getting older, and the day will come, God forbid, the day may come when you're crossing Main Street and you feel a tightening in your chests, and you make it to the other side and you grab hold of a light pole and you slide down it and you feel the concrete against your face. Well, let me tell you, the person who comes to try to save your life is not going to be this young woman over here. No, it's not. It's going to be a member of the volunteer fire department, the same volunteer fire department that you slapped across the face and that you said, you're good enough to save my life, but you're not good enough to put on fireworks in this town. Yes? But you know, that volunteer fire person is such a professional that even though you've insulted them, even though you've degraded them, they'll still do their very best to administer CPR and to save your life so that you can enjoy many 4th of Julys in the future and eat many, many hot dogs and potato salad in the future. And why? Because these people are not in it for their own personal glory. These people are in it for the good of the community, the good of the community. I've worked for the good of this community for 40 years, and I never thought this day would come, but here it is. And he stood up, tears glittering in his eyes, and brushed the strands of hair back across his bald head, and he walked out. Well, it was quite a performance. Of course, the motion to find out more about fireworks was tabled. Nothing happened to it, and the volunteer fire department will be in charge once again this year. Clarence said to Denise, he said, you know, maybe we just tried to rush it a little bit. Maybe if you helped out this year, and then next year you came back and you helped out again, and maybe you'd gradually get a little responsibility, and then eventually you could take over the 4th of July fireworks. She thought about it for a moment. Nah, she said, I don't think so. So she blew off her stash up on the hill above the high school this last week. She didn't have any rockets or any bombs, but she had this waterfall. She took 2 hours to set it up. She didn't tell anyone she was going to do it. And when the sun went down, she lit it. And there was this blue cascade of sparks. It was 60 feet long. It was 30 feet high. It looked real. It looked like real water. It was just incandescent. It was alive. It was mesmerizing. And behind it was a brilliant red light, like a laser beam. It was a vision up against the sky on the hill. It was the most beautiful, spectacular thing ever seen in that town. And if anybody in town ever saw it, they didn't say anything to her. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.